Okay, today's daf is Nida Nun Hey. We're going to start right at the top. What we finished up yesterday was we said that the blood of the Nida is Tameh like the Nida. And then we started saying, well, if it's Tameh like the Nida, then maybe it should be Metameh Mishkav and Moshav, if Dam is sitting on something. And then we said, no, that's not the case. Now they're going to ask another question. Imahi Metameh Be'Eben Misama. Just like a nida would be matame, eben misama. What does that mean? That means if a nida sits on a stone, okay, now this could be mishkav or moshav, it could also be tumat masa. We're obviously not talking about mishkav or moshav because we just rejected dam for mishkav or moshav, but we're going to say now, actually, let me just read the whole sentence and then we'll go back. Imahi matame be eben misama, just like a nida is matame with this eben misama, which we'll talk about what this is. Af madvenami matame be eben misama. Maybe the blood would also be matame in this way. What is Eben Misama? It means if a Nida is sitting on a very solid stone, and under the stone is a cloth or a kli or something like that. Now, normally, you could call that either Mishkav, okay, it could be Metame Mishkav, and then the question is if blood was on top, would, in other words, again, what it's sitting on the rock, and the rock is sitting on a cloth. So with that cloth, remember we had the princess and the pea, right? All the mattresses underneath and anything underneath, it's going to be tameh. So would you say, though, in this case, okay, so Eben Misama is something that is so strong, like it's a very solid stone, that there's no movement. The nida that's sitting on this Eben is certainly not moving anything underneath. Okay, however, it's still matame Eben Misama. Now, it's also Mishum Mishkav and Moshav, but it could also be mishum masa. What does that mean? Masa works in two ways. Masa, normally we say if I carry a tray and on the tray is something, right? So I carry this, and on this is my marker, so I'm not actually touching the marker, but I'm carrying it. That's masa. But theoretically, masa can also be that the tame item is on top, and I'm carrying the tame item. And it could be tuma, even if it theoretically could be carried, even if I'm not actually carrying it. So now you could also view that Eben Misama case as a masa case, which means, you know, means that what? There's a beged underneath, and that beged is, so to speak, carrying the blood or the nida woman that's on top, right? That would be masa, because it's also, it's moving the tame item. Even if it's not actually moving it, it's still, so to speak, carrying it if there's this Eben on top of it. So now, what would be the difference if we say Mishkav or Moshav? Well, Mishkav or Moshav only works with items that can be sat upon. Remember we talked about that kli that was a measuring kli that people would say, oh, I need the kli for measuring, and therefore no one would ever sit on it. That wouldn't be Metame Mishkav or Moshav, but it would be Metame Masa if it were under this rock. Okay, so basically if a nida sits on this rock, and under this rock is some sort of implement, any kind of kli, whether it's a kli that would be Metame Mishkav or Moshav or Masa, it will be Metame that item underneath. So now they're suggesting, just like the nida herself would be matame that way, maybe the dam also, if it were on top of the stone, it would be matame what's underneath. So Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Cha, v'hanose otam. Okay, this is a pasuk which starts off with tumat mishkav, v'chol anugea v'chol asher yiyeh tachtav, yitma ad erev, v'hanose otam yitma b'gadav rachatz b'mayim. So again, we have both the mishkav and the nisia, the masa. And it says, Hanose Otam, they say specifically Otam, meaning only the Zav of the Nida Yoledet, but not Mi'utahi, right? Not the blood. Okay, so from there they exclude blood from this Din of Eben Misama. So again, Eben Misama is often talked about in the context of Mishkav or Moshav, but that can't be what they're discussing here because we rejected Dam from Mishkav or Moshav because Dam isn't something that sits. But it could theoretically be Metame Masa through this Eben Misama, and then they learn Anose Otam only by regular Masa of Anida or Azav or Azava is there going to be this Din of Eben Misama, but not by the blood. Ubasar hamet. Now we're back to the Mishnah. So that was the first topic, dam hanida. Now we're up to basar hamet. We have to establish in each case, how do we know basar hamet is metame, lach, and yavesh? Menalan. Amar Rish Lakish. We're going to have two different answers. Amar ka. The pasuk says, lichol tumato. Okay, whole pasuk. O ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz. Okay, that's shretzim, that's not our topic. Asher yitmalo. O ba'adam asher yitmalo. Or someone who becomes tameh by a person. L'chol tumato. Okay, what does L'chol Tumato come to include? L'chol Tumot HaPershot Mimenu, Rish Lakish says, this comes to include any tumah that comes out of his body, meaning whether it's dry, whether it's moist. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, O Be'etzem Adam, O Be'keber Adam, so it says, and again, this is talking about tumah of Adam, this is in Bamibur Yotet when it talks about the Parah Adumah, right, it's talking about all the different people that can be tamei meit, or he touches the meit, o be'etzem adam, or he touches the bone of a person, o be'kever, okay, or the person in the kever. So now, what do you see here? It says be'etzem adam, the bone of a human. So how do they darshan this phrase? Ma etzem, dumia de etzem. It must be like the bone. Ma etzem yavesh, af kan yavesh. Just like a bone is dry, likewise the flesh, even if it's dry, is going to carry impurities. Okay, and is going to transfer impurities to others. So we now have two different psukim. One, Rish Lakish says, l'chol tumato, anything that comes out of the body is going to be tameh. And Rabbi Yochanan says, anything that's like a bone. So my binayu, what's the difference between the two opinions? Ike binayu da afri chifruche. If it can crumble, okay, then we're going to say, it still came out of the Gufa Adam, so Rish Lakish will say it's Tameh, but it's not like an Etzem. An Etzem doesn't crumble, an Etzem, right, is very solid. It doesn't start falling apart. So if you had something that started crumbling, it wouldn't be Tameh according to Rabbi Yochanan, but it would be Tameh according to Rish Lakish. Now we're going to have a question. Meitiveh. Okay, Basah HaMeshufrach Tahor. Here we see this is going against Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish said anything that comes out, even if it can start falling apart. It says here, Basar Amet Shufrach, that starts to fall apart, is going to be Tahor. Sounds like Rish Lakish isn't right. So what do they answer? Hatam de'ikmach v'have afra. There's different ways that things could fall apart. Right? Something could just break up into little pieces. Or something could become flower-like. That's why it says ikmach, right? Like kemach, and turn into afar. Right, just become like dust. So if something totally disintegrates, even Rish Lakish will say that's not going to be Tameh anymore. But if it's only that it crumbles into pieces, small pieces, well, that will still be Tameh according to Rish Lakish. Okay, so first question was on Rish Lakish. We answered it. Next question is going to be both on Rabbi Yochanan and on Rish Lakish. Meitiveh. Kol shebemeit mitameh, all parts of the body of the meit are going to be mitameh, chutz min hashinayim v'hasear v'hatziporen. Except for teeth, hair, and nails. Those items are not metame. Ubishat chiburan, however, if they're still attached to the dead body, hakol tameh, even those are going to be tameh. Okay, we're not going to focus on that last part. We're going to focus on the fact that teeth or hair or nails that are detached from a dead body are not going to be metame. So now, number one, it would be kol yotzeh me'adam. And number two, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be something that's like a bone, right? Think about teeth. They're very bone-like, so to speak. So, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, dumia de etzem. So now he's going to say, here's our example. It's going to be like an etzem. Ma etzem, not like an etzem in terms of its texture or the form. But ma etzem shenivra imo, when you're born, your bones are already in your body. Af kol shenivra imo, which is going to exclude the teeth. Because the teeth, you weren't born with teeth. Although I do know someone who was born with teeth, but generally you're not born with teeth, and even those fall out. Vahaika se'ar v'tzipoen shenivra imo, but you are born with hair. At least, right. Most kids are born with at least some hair, even if it's not really so noticeable. And nails. So those are both, you're created with them. So uteorim. So how do we explain that? Elam rava de barava dumia de etzem. Again, it's like an etzem. What else is true about an etzem? Ma etzem shenivraimo, bones you're born with them. Vit, and that was the first thing which we already said. Second thing about bones is engis o machlif. If your bones break and, let's say a bone was removed from your body, it's not going to regenerate. Af kol shenivraimo ve'engis o machlif. Therefore, it has to be something that doesn't regenerate. That's obvious. Hair and nails regenerate. So that's why hair and nails and teeth, right? Teeth are excluded because you weren't born with them, and hair and nails are excluded because they regenerate. And therefore, they're not going to be tameh, which is similar to Nivraimo, because even if you were born with it, the ones that you die with are not the ones that you were born with. So therefore, af kol shenivraim obein gezo machlif, only those things are tamei, yatzu hashinaim shelo nivru imo, so shinaim are out because they weren't created, you weren't born with them, and yatzu se'ar v'tzipor, and she'af al pi shenivru imo gezo machlif. It's very interesting when you think about it, what's this saying about tumah? The tumah mate is something that was kind of always on your body, right? It was there from the beginning. It's almost like connecting birth and death, and impurity relates to when
you were
born.
It's like it's not activated until you die, but it's there.
Right. It's there, but it has to have been part of, like, a part of your body that doesn't change. I mean, every part of your body changes, but change to the extent that it's kind of, you know, a whole new thing. So that's what we've established. So again, we started with a question, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, which seemed to say that all the things that come out of the dead body should be tameh, like hair and nails and shinaim, and yet it says it isn't. Well, those are exceptions to the rule for other reasons. One of those reasons is because they regenerate. So now they're going to ask a question about skin. Okay, so now they say, and there's going to be two variations of this. So we're going to start with the first one now. Bahare or digiz o machlif. Skin also regenerates. If you lose your skin, it'll come back. So, utnan, and here's a Mishnah in Chulin, hagluda, which is an animal that loses all of the, somebody takes off all of its skin. Some people say it's because the animal was sick and they took off all the hide. Rabbi Meir machshir. Now the question is, this is a totally different issue, is this a trefa or not, this animal? Can the animal survive without its skin? So Rabbi Meir says, it's kasher. The chachamim poslim. The assumption is, why is Rabbi Meir machshir? Because the skin will regenerate. So therefore, it's okay. Chachamim say no, because why? The animal's a trefa, because the animal can't survive without skin, it's going to die. So now the assumption you might have is that maybe Chachamim think that the skin doesn't regenerate. So now the Gemara says, well, afilu rabbanan lo kapasle, ela adahachi vahachi, shalit ba'avira umeta. It's not that the rabbis think that it doesn't regenerate. The skin will regenerate, but until it... by the time it regenerates, it's already, the air is going to get to the inner part of the body and the animal will die. So it's not that they disagree. So now they're assuming everybody agrees that skin regenerates. It's just a matter of, is it a trefa or not if the skin comes off. Ula olam gizo machlif. Okay, so now they say, so therefore it's clear that or, right now they're assuming, or according to everyone is gizo machlif, even though they have this disagreement about whether it's a trefa or not. Once or is gizo machlif, so according to what we said, if gizo machlif, it should be tahor, right? It shouldn't be tameh, just like the hair and the nails. But yet, it says, utaninan, elu she'orotehen kibsalan. These are the ones, also we learned this in Chulin, these are the ones that their skin is like their basar, and one of the things listed there is or ha'adam, skin of humans, meaning it's like flesh, meaning it's mitameh. So how do we say that? If we said gizo machlif is tahor, this should theoretically be tahor. So they say, oh, don't worry about that. Ha'itmar ala, it was said about that source, elu sherotehen kivsahan, amar ula, dvar Torah, or adam tahor. Ula say, really, by Torah law it is tahor, and then we're fine, because gizo machlif, it's tahor. Why? My time amru tameh. Why did the rabbi say it's tameh? Gzera shema yase adam orot avi v'imo shtichin lachamor. There was a concern that people would take the skin of their parents, and they would turn it into a mat for the donkey, or some people I think say the saddle of the donkey. Okay, so there was a concern that people would do this. Why would people do this? So first of all, some people say they wanted like a memento of their parents, you know, and there was this, maybe it was a minhag that people did this, yeah, a little unpleasant. It would be obviously not covered, you know, hamet, and also you're supposed to bury it. You know, it's supposed to be buried, you're not supposed to not bury it. So those are the problems. The question is, why would people do this? So some people say for memento purposes. Some people view this as like it was a sorcery thing. People would do this for sorcery purposes, and that's why there was a concern that people would do this. Okay, so now. So therefore, what are they saying? That's our solution. Theoretically, it's tahor, mina Torah, but the rabbis made a gzerah that it's tameh, and that's this quote from Ula. Okay, Ula said, it's only a gzerah de rabbanan. Okay, that it's tameh. Okay, it's tameh mishum gzerah de rabbanan, it's not really tameh. That was all the first version. The first version was, or gizota machlif, and it should be tahor, it's not. Oh, really, it is. Okay. Second version. Okay, we're going to have a different version of this whole thing. The ika da amre, hare or de en gizo machlif. Okay, according to this now, it's going to be that, not that everyone thinks or is gizo machlif. Everybody thinks that or doesn't regenerate. Okay, so now, where do we go from here? So first we have to explain the machloket chachamim and Rabbi Meir. So now instead of saying, last time we said, well, Rabbi Meir really thinks it's machlif, it's just he thinks the rabbis really think it's machlif, it's just that they think the animal's going to die in the interim. Now we have to explain otherwise. That nobody thinks the or is going to regenerate, so now we have to explain why Rabbi Meir says it's not a trefa. If the or is not going to regenerate, how can the animal survive? Utznan v'chachamim poslim. So chachamim poslim because they think the skin won't regenerate. V'afilu Rabbi Meir lo kamachshir ela dekarir bisra v'chaya. The case where Rabbi Meir was machshir was in a case where the animal, when the hide came off, the outer layer of the body kind of created this hardened, basically. It hardened, created a kind of skin, not really, it wasn't skin, it wasn't made out of skin, but a protective coating almost of, you know, the outer layer hardened and protected the skin, and therefore Rabbi Meir said the animal can survive. In that case, they would say it's kasher. Ula olam, but really, everyone thinks ein gizo machlif. Now we're going to have a problem. Instead of bringing ula as our answer, the issue is going to be that ula is a problem now, according to this. Because if ein gizo machlif, what would we say? The opposite of what we said before, or should be tameh. And what did Ula say? It's only tameh, mida rabbanan, but mida right, it's really tahor. So now they're going to bring Ula as our problem. Ba'amar Ula, dvar Torah, or adam tahor. And how can you say that? So what they're going to have to say is that Ula didn't mean or adam in general. He meant or adam in a unique case. Okay? And it's not crazy to say, because Ula was talking about this Mishnah that we quoted. And ki itmar de'ula, when Ula said it on that Mishnah, as sefer itmar, he was referring to the end part of the Mishnah. And here's what the end part of the Mishnah says. Okay, remember, the Mishnah said, these are the ones that the or is like the basar, and it's going to be tameh, and one of those things was or adam. The sefer then said, v'kulan she'ibdan, and all these hides that we're talking about of animals, if you treated them, or hilech behen kidei avodah, or you stamped on them and you trampled on them. By trampling on them, it's kind of like ibud, right? It undergoes a process. And what happens to the skin when you go through that process? It hardens. Once it overgoes this process and it hardens, it's no longer tameh. It loses its status of impurity. Chutz mi or adam. Other than or adam, that even once it's processed, it's still going to be tameh. Now, okay, so now what do we have? We have the Reisha talking about Or Adam is Tameh. And then the Seifa talked about Or Adam that went over this Talich of Ibud, right? It had some process happening to it and it hardened. Even that, we say, is going to be Tameh. So now comes Ula and he says, when is Or Adam that's processed going to be Tameh, even though the hide of the animals won't be in that case? Well, comes Ula, and he says, really, right? Then he's going to say, sorry, I'm just looking for it inside. Ba'amar Ula, dvar Torah, or adam ki ibdo tahor. Really, the or adam, once it hardens, it's got undergone this process, it will actually be pure. However, matam amru tameh, gzera shema yaseh adam or avivi imo shtichin. Okay, so now, Ula is only referring to skin of a person that was processed, which means that regular or adam is tamei mito oraita, which fits in perfectly now because we said, remember, or according to this version is ein gizo machlif, it doesn't regenerate, which would explain that's why it's actually tamei. Only once it's processed there would be reason to think that it would be tahor. However, the rabbis will go there not to do that, and it makes sense now. Once it's processed, it's more likely you're going to use it as a shatiach. Okay, and therefore it's going to be problematic. Okay, Amar Mar Barav Ashi. Basar, sorry, as I skip a line there, right. Bahare Basar digizo machlif v'tameh. What about the flesh? Flesh, okay, if you cut out a portion of your flesh, it will grow back. So Amar Mar Barav Ashi, Basar na samakamot saleket. It's true it'll grow back, but you'll have a big scar, right? Imagine you take out a chunk of your, you know, a little skin with some stuff underneath. When it grows back, you'll have a big scar. That isn't the same as regenerating of hair and nails, where there's no noticeable difference between the way it was the first time and the way it was later. Okay, so that's why basar is going to be tameh no matter what. Now, that was all basar hameh. Now we're moving on in the Mishnah to the next case, aval azov. Now we get onto all the categories of items that are only metameh, lach, and not yavesh, not if they're dry. Zov minalan, but there we're going to talk about in general, just like we asked about the dam. How do we know the dam itself is metame? How do we know that the stuff, the discharge that comes out of the zav, is going to be tame? Minalan. Detanya, zovo tame. It says in the pasuk, remember that pasuk? Zovo tame, we darshan in this pasukim a lot. Right? Debro b'nei Yisrael v'amartam alehem, ish ish ki yezav mibsaro, when he has this discharge, zovo tamehu. What comes out will be tame. Limed al azov, hazov shu tameh. From here we learn that the stuff that comes out is also tameh. Now the Gemara says, why do we need a pasuk to prove this? We actually learned this before. Falo dinhu, lacherim gorim tuma la'atzmo l'kol sheken. When the zov, the discharge, comes out of the person's body, it makes the person tameh. So of course the item itself will be tameh. How can something make someone else tameh and not be tameh itself? It doesn't make any sense. So then they say, what do you mean it doesn't make sense? Of course it makes sense. Here's a good example of a case where that would make where that would happen. Se'ir mishalech yochiach shegorem tuma la'acharim v'hu atzmo tahor. Remember, we talked about this. The se'ir mishalech on Yom Kippur, they send off the se'ir, right? They send him off into the desert. That se'ir causes the person to become tameh. It says hamishalech has to be yechaves gadav rachatz b'mayim, right? Both his clothes become tameh, he becomes tameh, but the seir itself is not tameh. How do we know that? Because animals are never tameh when they're alive. So the seir itself is not tameh, but the person who deals with it becomes tameh. So there you have an example, right? Afata al titmalza. So don't say by the zov. It's obvious that just because the zov makes a person tameh, the zov itself should be tameh. The seir makes a person tameh, but isn't tameh himself. You could say the same thing here. Talmud Lomar, Zovo Tameh, Limed al Azov Shu Tameh. That's why you need this pasuk, Zovo Tameh, to teach you the Zov, the discharge itself, is Tameh. Ve'ema hanemile b'maga, aval b'masa lo. Now, the fact that it says Zovo Tameh, it doesn't say what type of tuma. So now they're going to suggest maybe it's only maga and not masa. Now, why would you think to distinguish between maga and masa? Remember, what's the difference? Touching it physically or carrying it when you're not actually coming in physical contact. So maybe it's only tame maga and not masa. Like what? Why? Where do we have this example of something that's mitame maga, not masa? Midi dehave asheretz. Sheretz is only mitame maga, it's not mitame masa. So maybe, okay, we have that zovo tame. Okay, it says zovo tame, but it doesn't say what type of tuma. Maybe we would just say the zovo tame is only tuma maga and not masa. Tamra baby barabaye bimaga lo itzrich kra to lo gar mishachatzera. Remember, we had that pasuk where we compared the zav and the shechatzera, right? It's shetetze mimenu shechatzera and the here. It doesn't say the pasuk here. I forget the pasuk now, but it's in the same pasuk. It says. Yishasher Yazuv, I forget, it starts off with the Zav and then it goes to the Shechatzera. Okay, I'll find it in a second. Here. V'zot Torat HaZav ve'asher teitzei mimenu Shechatzera. This is the law for the Zav and the one who Shechatzera. Shechatzera is metame maga and masa, and therefore, Shechatzera is clearly metame maga, okay? So therefore, from that pasuk, we learn not only shechatzera is metame maga, but also if the zav is like the shechatzera, then the zav, the zov, is going to be metame maga, and therefore this extra pasuk zovo tameh is going to teach us masa. Okay, specifically also masa and not just maga. Now the Gemara says ki itzrich kra. Okay, so that's what I just said. When you need the pasuk, then it's for masa. So then they say, wait, but maybe, let's ask another question. Ema, they keep trying to say that maybe the Zov is going to be Tameh, but not exactly like the Zav is, right? First we said maybe Maga, not Masa. Then we say, okay, fine, it is Metame Masa, But maybe Eima b'masa mitame adam ubegadim b'maga adam mitame begadim lo litame migdi dehave amaga nevela. Now, first we tried to compare it to the sheretz, that maybe it's only maga. We said, no, it's not like the sheretz. Now we're going to say, I'll start from the end. Maybe it's like tumat nevela, maga nevela. Okay, what happens with maga nevela? When you touch a nevela, you become tameh, but the clothes you're wearing don't become tameh. If you remember in the Torah, there's many cases where it says, v'rachat b'saro, right, en yichabes b'gadav. But daka by nevela, it says that hanosei, the nevela, is mitame en yichabes b'gadav, but when it says hanogea b'nevelata, it doesn't say yichabes b'gadav. So when it comes to a nevela, maga of nevela, there's no, right, it's mitame adam, and not his begadim. Okay, adam dovad, but not his clothes. So now they're going to suggest that maybe this zov is only going to be metame adam, but not the begadim that are on the person. Okay, so now, what are they going to say? Lo salkadatach, ditanya. It doesn't seem to make sense to say that, because it says in the following braita, achirim omrim, hazav et zovo, okay, we keep going back to the same psukim we darshaned a number of days ago, hazav et zovo la zachar ve la nekeva. Makish zovo lo, notice what it says here, hazav et zovo. There's the zav and there's the zov. The zov is what comes out and the zav is the person. So again, you have a hekesh between the zav and what comes out of him. Ma hu lo chilakta be maga'ola masa'ola tamei adam ula tamei begadim. If a zav touches a person or carries a person, that person is going to be tame, maga, right, through maga or through masa, not only the person, also the clothes the person's wearing. Therefore, af zavo ken. Okay, so basically we now bring a different pasuk, hazav et zavo. Remember, we started off with zavo tamehu. That taught us the zov is tameh, which we said teaches us dafka by masa, because maga we already have from Shechvat Zera, the comparison. Now we have another pasuk which teaches us it's tame exactly like the zav. Okay? Now the obvious question is going to be, well, once you say it's exactly like the zav, why do you need the first pasuk? Right? What did that teach us? V'hasha denafka lame azav et zavo, zavo tame lamali. Why do you need the zavo tame pasuk? So Amar of Yehuda mi diskarta itzrich. You need all the pasukim. Why? Salkadata chamina. Without the pasuk, what would you have thought? If you didn't have any pasukim, you would have thought exactly where we started. Si'ira mashalech yochiach shegorem tumah l'acherim v'hu atzmo tahor. Right? If you didn't have any pasuk, you'd think from the si'ira mashalech we could learn that the stuff that comes out makes the person a zav, but it itself is not necessarily tameh. Imishum hazav et zavo, but if you just had hazav et zavo, what would you say? Well, that pasuk, if you remember, we darshaned other things from that pasuk. Liminyanehu da'ata. It comes to teach you how many re'iyot of the zav. Remember, the zav sees one, the halacha is one way, two, it's a different way, three, it's a different way, right? So what would you say? If you just had a zav et zavo, you would say, it comes to teach us liminyanehu. Zov is chad, zovo is tarte, ubashlishi akshe rachmana linekeva. So what does that mean? Right? Remember, if he sees one re'iyah, what happens? He's tameh for the day. Once he sees two re'iyot, that we learn out from Zovo, that teaches us, he already has to wait 7 clean days, but he's not yet chayav a korban. And then bashlishi, they're made a hekesh to nekeva, to laza, hazavet Zovo, laza charve la nekeva. That came to teach you what? That, if you remember, there's a big difference between Zachar and Nekeva when it comes to Zav and Zava. What is it? A Nekeva who sees Machmat Ones, she jumps and it causes her to bleed or some external circumstance, she's going to be a Zava. A male is not considered a Zav through Ones, but according to one of the opinions we saw, which is this opinion, which is that on the third Re'iyah, what does the third Re'iyah cause you? You're already Tameh 7 days, you know, that you need Sheven Nekim, but you now have to bring a Korban. Well, it teaches you that that third Re'iyah, if it's machmat ones, some external circumstance, the third re'iyah, you're still going to be chayav korban. Even though in the first two re'iyot, ones wouldn't be a factor, it wouldn't count, but it does for the last one. Therefore, since that pasuk is needed for other drasha, katav rachmana zavo tameh. Okay? So now, this is how it works. But remember, we just said we use this to darshan, that, what did we use it? Remember, zavo tameh came to teach us mitame masa, And the Zav Etzavo came to teach us it's exactly like the Zav, that it's going to be Metame not only Adam, but also Bigadim, right? Also the clothes the person's wearing. So now what do they say? Well, since this Pasuk, Kazav Etzavo, is needed to darshan something else, we need to darshan the basic halacha of Zavo Tame. We need to darshan the basic halacha of Masa from Zavo Tame. But once we already do that, Hashadam Rahmana Zavo Tamehu, Darish Beinami Hai. Once we establish this Metame Masa, then Hazav Etzavo can at least just teach us his Metame Masa exactly like the Zav is. But it wouldn't be enough, since that Pasuk is really needed for the three Re'iyot, it wouldn't be enough just to have that Pasuk. So once you have that, the first Pasuk, and we learn the basic halacha, then we can learn details about that halacha, that it's even Metame Begadim from Hazav Etzavo. Okay, that's it with that part. Now we're moving on to the next part of the Mishnah, Harok. Now we get to the saliva of the Zav, which again is Metame Lach Bana Yavesh. Rok min halan, how do we get that the Rok is Tame? Detanya Chi Yarok. Right, that's the Pasuk we've seen. B'chi Yarok Hazav Batahor. If a Zav spits on a Tahor person, B'chi Beis Gadav Rachat Pamayim Tame Ad Erev. That person becomes Tame and he has to wash his clothes. He's Tame for a day. So now they say, Yachol Afilu Lo Naga. This is interesting, right? When you spit, you don't necessarily spit on the person directly. So maybe if you spit towards someone, but you don't actually, the spit doesn't touch them, maybe he's also Tame. Talmud Lomar, Batahor. That's why it says specifically, on the Tahor, Ad Shi Gaba Tahor. Okay, it has to actually touch the person. So Eli Ela Roko. Now this only relates to saliva, because that's what it says in the Pasuk. Ki Chovene'o Umeha Av Shalominai. And how do you know about phlegm and mucus? And the stuff, the liquid that comes out of your nose, how do you know? I'm not exactly sure what the difference in the mucus and the stuff that comes out of your nose is. But how do you know? Talmud Lomar, v'chi yarok. The v'chi, the vav, comes to teach you it's other things, just not only saliva, but other liquids that come out of your body, including kichoveneu meha'af. Okay, now go back to the beginning of where we started with this. Where did we start? We said, even if it doesn't touch the person. Now, it seems like a strange havamina. Why would you even think that if it doesn't touch the person, they're going to be tameh? Amar mar, yachol afilu shelo naga, mehechitite. Where would you even get that idea from, that it would be, even if it doesn't touch? So, what do? They look for where else does saliva come up in the Torah. Well, sachidat hachamina, neilach rok rok mi yivama. If you remember the yivama, what does she do? Right? It's the shoe thing, and then she spits. Yarka bifanav, it says. She spits in his face. This is when the guy doesn't want to do yibum, and they do chalitza. Part of the procedure is she spits. Now, she doesn't spit on him. She spits in front of him. So you might have thought, ma hatam afalpi delona ga, right there, her spit, it works, even though it doesn't touch him. Afachanami delona ga. Maybe here also, when we're talking about saliva, it's even if it doesn't touch a person, ka mashmalan. That's why it's specifically needed to tell us in the Braita that it has to touch, and they darshan that from the word batahor. Ve'emar hanemile b'maga. Aval b'masalo. Now we're going to have the exact same sugya that we saw before, which is okay. We have this thing that the saliva is metame. But maybe it's only metame b'maga, not b'masa. First, we were even suggesting maybe not even maga, right? You don't even have to touch, it's just spitting toward. No, it has to touch. But maybe it only has to touch. But if you carried it, okay, and you didn't actually come in contact with it physically without touching it, it was on a tray or something else, lo, right? Midi dahava sheretz. Maybe again, it's like a sheretz. So, Amar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, Tana de Be'eliyahu, Amar Kha Batahor. He darshins, Rabbi Yishmael darshins, because it says batahor, it's anything that's any way associated with the tahor, that the tahor's hands did something to it. Well, if he carried it in some way, his hands were involved, and therefore, again, it's not so clear how you get this from batahor, but I guess the ba again, whatever is biyad hatahor. Okay, ve'ema. So now again, we're going to say the exact same question we had last time. It's a good repeat sugya. B'masa metame adam u'begadim, but b'maga adam letame begadim lo. Adam letame begadim lo letame. But maybe when it comes to maga, maybe it will only be metame the person and not. Now again, why distinguish maga and masa? Because of midi dehava am maga nevela. Just like by nevela, there's this distinction. Maga is only metame adam, and the masa of the nevela, you carry the nevela, you're going to be metame not only the person, also his clothes. So maybe you would think that that's the case here also. So Amarish Lakish, Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael, Amar Kra, Batahor. So again, Batahor, what are they going to learn from this word Batahor? Tahara Shetiharti Lecha B'makom Acher, Timeti Lecha Kan. There's something that I said was pure somewhere else, but here it's Tameh. Batahor is a reference that there's something else Tahor, which here is Tameh. Okay, they darshed a lot of things from this word. So what are they going to learn that? Ezazet, Zem Maganavela. In other words, right, Maganavela is Tameh, I'm sorry, is Tahor for the person's clothes, but here it's going to be Tameh, the person's clothes. Now they say, well, wait a minute. If you're going to say that the word batahor comes to say there's something that's tahor somewhere else, which is tameh here, you could have as easily said the masav, the sheretz, which is also something. Remember, you carry a sheretz, you're not tameh, you're not tahor, you're not tameh, right? You're tahor. So that could have been the item that was tahor somewhere else and tameh here. Ve'ema kemasa de sheretz. So they say, well, if you wanted to teach us just that, im kein nichtav kra ba'adam. It could have just said ba'adam, and then you would have known instead of batahor. V'chi yarok hazav ba'adam, you would have already learned that that includes something that wasn't said somewhere else. My batahor shma mina tarte. So therefore, the fact that it uses the lashon batahor comes to teach you, number one, that it's metame, not like the sheretz, but it's metame also masa. And then, number two, because it uses the word instead of ba'adam, it says ba'tahor, we learn an additional thing, which is there's another thing that's tahor somewhere else, that's tameh here, and what's that? The maganavela is metameh, is not metameh begadim, but here, the maganavela, here, the maganavela is, I'm sorry, the maga of the... Lost my train of thought for a minute. The maga of the rok, the saliva, touching someone is going to not only be mitame them, but also their begadim. Obviously masa, yes, but there was a question about maga, and now we're going to learn also. Okay, next case in the Mishnah. Umei ha'af. So my mei ha'af. What is this mei ha'af? Especially if we said mucus was mucus, right? So what's mei ha'af? Amarav bigandrin derech hapeh. Right, we all know that the ear, nose, and throat are connected. Sometimes liquids from the nose can end up coming out through the mouth. If the liquids of the nose come out through the mouth, it's going to obviously have some saliva there, and therefore it's going to be tameh. Which means that according to this opinion of Rav, okay, we're going to see where Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, if liquid comes out of your nose, that is not going to be tameh. Okay? Only if it comes out through the mouth, okay? Because there it picks up saliva on the way. Rabbi Yochanan Amar afilu b'nigrarim. I think I read that word wrong before. It's nigrarim. Even things that are nigrar that come out derech hachotem. Even things that come out through your nose. Okay, so Rav thinks it has to go first through your mouth, and Rabbi Yochanan says it has to go. It can even go out through your nose. It will still be tameh. Why does Rabbi Yochanan hold this? And that's, again, Rav is very clear because he thinks it's only something that's saliva-like, and liquids that come out of your nose are not saliva-like, and therefore, only if it comes out through your mouth is it going to be tameh. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if it comes out through your nose, alma kasaver mayanhu v'rachmana rabye. What does that mean? Remember we said mayan, anything that's a liquid that comes out of the body of the zav, which would not only include saliva, it would include even the stuff that comes out through your nose. So now they go back to Rav and they say, listen, according to Rav, if it's something that comes out through your mouth, okay, this is you're going to find a little strange. Rav, nichshav nami dim ateino. You should also include the tears that come out of a person's eye because they can also go out through your mouth. Okay, have to see how. Why do we assume Rav holds this? Da'amar Rav, because Rav himself holds. This is, we're going to get off on a tangent here, something totally different. We'll connect back in a minute. Hai man debai de listeme laene. If you want to be blinded, it doesn't really mean nobody wants to be blinded. We'll see in a minute what he's getting at. Likcho me ovei kochavim. You should have an ovei kochavim color your eyes. Okay, right? The kol was the stuff they used. It was a salve they used for medicinal purposes. Also, it was coloring they used for like eyeshadow type thing. So, if you want to be blinded, go to an ovei kochavim and have them do it to you because. What was the issue in those days, right? Ovdei Kochavim were not always so trustworthy because they were enemies of us and people believed they wanted to do bad things to us. So again, you know, it was particular time in a particular place where these things happened, where there were Ovdei Kochavim that really wanted to do to harm us. And therefore, he's basically saying, in other words, don't go do your call by the Ovdei Kochavim because they're not trustworthy and they might actually do something that would blind you. The Levi Amar, Haiman Debaye Delemut, if you want to die, Likho Me'ovdei Kochavim, Me'ovdei Kochavim. He says it way worse. He says, if you're looking to get killed, go to him because, you know, go do this because the Ovdei Kochavim were suspect that they put some Sam HaMavet, some, you know, killer drug in your eye that could actually kill you. So now, they ask the question, again, we're not yet back to how we get about the eye going in through the mouth, but Amar, we're almost there. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Guria, my time of the Rav. So he said, what's the reason for Rav? The Delo Amar, Haman Dabai Lelemut, right? Why didn't he say, if you want to die? Why didn't he think that it was, that they could actually kill you by putting this Sam HaMavet in your eye? So what do they answer? Rav Chiya Bar Guria answers, Ho ilvi acholi goheran ulotzian derech hapeh. There's a way, if they put this Sam HaMavet, you could actually prevent it from taking effect. It obviously doesn't take effect immediately. There's a way to get it from your eye to go out through your mouth. I really don't know how you would do this, okay? But he claims there's a way to do this. So what do you see? Liquids in your eyes can go out through your mouth. So why didn't he say that you have to be worried about tears? So they're going to make a distinction between tears and the Sam HaMavet. The Rav Nehi Dezira Nafik Dim Ata Gufa Lo Nafik. It's this Sam HaMavet, this external thing that they put in your eye, theoretically could be taken out through your mouth. However, the tears don't come out through your mouth. Okay, again, I'm still not sure how this stuff is going to go out through your mouth, the Sam HaMavet, but obviously they thought there was some way that could happen. Okay, now we're going to see another source that's going to raise a contradiction to our Mishnah. Tashma, Tish'a Mashkin Hazavhen. We learned this also before. There's 9 types of liquids that could come out of a Zav, and they go into fall into 3 categories. Hen Hazea, V'Halech Hasrucha, V'Hari'i. Okay, sweat and pus, right, that comes out of wounds, and excrement, tahorim miklum. Okay, they're tahor lagamri. There's no tuma related to those things. Dimat eino, tears from your eyes, v'dam magefato, blood that comes out of a wound, v'chalav eisha, breast milk, mitamin tumat mashkin birevid. If you have a shear of revid, they're considered a liquid that can be have tumat mashkim to it, but it's not considered the mayan that comes out of the zav. Aval zovo, roko, meimei raglav, mitamim tumat chamura. Those, okay, what does it mean they're tumat mashkim? They'll become a rishon to be mitame other foods, right? But the actual discharge that the zav has and his saliva and his urine are mitame tumah chamura. They have a status of avatuma, which means they could be mitame humans and kelim, which the others can't. Now, what's the issue here? Well, notice what's missing. Ilu meha af lo katane. Doesn't say anything about the liquids that come out of your nose. So bishlama l'rav lo katane. Rav, we can explain why he doesn't say this, why the Mishnah doesn't say it. Delo, I don't know if it's a Mishnah or a Braita. Probably a Braita. What? Yeah, but I'm trying to think. I don't know if it's a Mishnah or not. It's a Braita. Okay. So, understandably, why the Braita doesn't say so. Delopsikale. Many times the Mishnah doesn't mention things that depend on certain circumstances. Remember? Why? Limine zimnin da'ati derech hapev, zimnin da'ati derech hachotam. According to Rav, only if it comes through your mouth is it going to be tame. So, since sometimes it's tame, sometimes it's not, that's why the Braita didn't mention it. Elal Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's always going to be, even if it comes out through your nose, litne, it should have said it here. So now they say, no, that's not a good question, because notice it's not just the meha'af where there's a machloket about, but there's stuff where there's no machloket about. Like, litameh, ki choveneo, the mucus and the phlegm, mikatane, it doesn't say those in the braita. Ela tanarok v'chol da'ata miribuye. Hachanami tanarok v'chol da'ata miribuye. In other words, the rok includes saliva and phlegm and mucus and all the things come out of the nose, and therefore they Rabbi Yochanan can say, oh, it meant that, it was just included in the other, okay? And since those aren't a subject of debate and they also weren't mentioned, it's obvious that this isn't a problem. Now we're just going to end with how we know those three things, the middle category, the tears and the blood from a wound and the breast milk, are considered tumat mashkin, right? We know they're not mayanot. They're not considered mayanot that come out of the body. However, they would be metamei tumah mashkin because they're considered liquids. How do we know they're considered liquids? Well, now we're going to bring a pasuk for each, which shows that these are called liquids. They go with the word mashkeh, or the shoresh, lashkot, to drink. Okay, they appear yeshkeh or yeshkeh. Okay, so here we're going to see. Dimateinu dechtiv vatashkemo bidmaot shalish. Okay, there's a pasuk from Tehillim. So there you see. Lashkot vatashkemo dam magefato dechtiv bidam chalalim yeshkeh. This is about a dead body. It's not exactly about a wound, but what do they say? Right, the blood from dead bodies you will drink. Mali kale kule, mali kale palga. What's the difference if you kill the whole body and the person's dead, or you just injure a part of the body? And therefore, if it appears by death, it would also be the same for an injury. And chalav haisha, dechtiv batiftach et nor chalav batashkeu. Okay, here again, you see the chalav and batashkeu. So the shoresh lashkot appears in all these three places, and that's how we know that they have tumat mashkeu. Okay, we'll start tomorrow with the Meme Raglayim.